Welcome to the Creekside Community Church Podcast. If you don't yet follow Jesus, we want to provide you with a safe place to explore the Christian faith. If you are a Christian, we want to provide you with resources to help you grow in your faith and ultimately serve Jesus more effectively. For more information or to partner with us, visit our website at creekside.cc. Subscribe so that you don't miss any of our messages. We hope this content helps you take your next step with Jesus.
So when Janelle and I, about 8 years ago now, when Adelaide, our oldest, was only 1 year old, we went to China together as a family. So there's a picture of us in China with little Adelaide, our bald head looking baby. And we had a great time, and we were actually out there not just because we're crazy adventurers. No, it was actually for a family occasion. Janelle's older brother, Eddie, was marrying a Chinese woman, Wen Juan, and they actually live in Lakewood now, and they're a great couple. They have their own kids now, which is so fun. So we actually went out there for Eddie and Wen Juan's wedding ceremony. And it was really interesting because we got a firsthand taste of Chinese culture and some of the dynamics that of honor and shame that we don't really have as much so in the United States. So for example, Eddie and Wen Juan, they had their wedding ceremony in the city that they lived in. And then after that, we actually traveled, like, felt like all the way across the country to Wen Juan's dad's town. And he put on this big, huge feast and banquet. So you can see, like, the banquet tables. These are Janelle's parents' banquet tables. And he invited all his friends, a bunch of people in the community. And this was the craziest feast I've ever been to. Like, they put out so much food, and also some weird food. Like, we didn't know what half of it was. And then Janelle was pregnant with Anna at the time, so she couldn't eat half of it, like turtle, recognizable for you. Yeah, it was really interesting. Now, what's interesting about the story is, you know, just plain and simple, you know, having an extra banquet to celebrate someone's wedding, that's not that strange. Some people do that here in the States. But what is interesting about this story is that Wen Juan and her dad were not close at all. Actually, her dad had left her mom when he found out that her mom had cancer and then remarried someone else, and they were basically mostly estranged. And so for us in our culture, it's like, wait, why would he put on this big feast, this big party to celebrate her wedding? You know why? Yeah. Tradition and also honor. Honor. That's what you do. Your daughter gets married. Oh, yeah. Okay. when your daughter gets married, you put on a big feast and you invite all your friends and neighbors because that's what you do. And also, not only that, but the more people you can invite and the bigger feast you can throw, the more honor you have. Honor is almost like, I know this is not grammatically correct, it's like social well thought ofness. That's what honor is, social well thought ofness. And I wanted to share that story at the start because it helps us get a glimpse of what's going on in the stories we're going to look at today. Because the truth is that the culture that Jesus was a part of in first century Israel was very much more similar to Chinese culture with its honor and shame dynamics than it is to our culture. And so we have to remember that as we read these stories. And so today, we're going to read several parables from Jesus, and we're going to look at the situation in which he was in when he told these stories. We're working our way through the parables of Jesus from the Gospel of Luke, one of my favorite Gospels, and not just because my name is Luke, okay? That's not the only reason. It's also written to non-Jews. This is the only Gospel that's directly written to non-Jews, Gentiles, and I think it just gets at things really well. So we're going to pick things up in Luke chapter 14. If you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn there. And we're going to look at three different kind of situations at feasts and these stories Jesus tells that get at, again, shame and honor. So I just want you to hold these ideas of shame and honor in your head as kind of the key to understanding what's going on. All of these stories have this theme of shame and honor running through them. And so this will help us understand. Nancy, my bulletin notes aren't in my phone. Or Carrie, you're up there, sorry. Carrie, can you click on the next slide for me? Okay, good. You have it. I don't have it on my phone for some reason. Let me just try really quickly resetting this so that I can flip through my slides. I apologize. We love technical difficulties here at Creekside. Let's see if this works. Nope, it's not going to work for me, Carrie. So you are the boss. Hopefully we can follow along all together. All right, let's read together Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. One Sabbath, when Jesus went in to eat at the house of one of the leading Pharisees. So pause. Sabbath was a day of Jewish worship. People gathered at synagogues, kind of like we do church, similar, but with some key differences. And they would study scripture together, and different people would share their insights about scripture, and they would have times of song and prayer. And then also on Sabbath, though, you would often have a big feast afterwards. And so one of the leading Pharisees wants to invite Jesus, this famous rabbi, to his house. And we were actually talking about the scripture in staff meeting this week, and Kirk was kind of pointing out, like, you think the Pharisees would figure out not to invite Jesus over by this point? Because there's been lots of drama at these feasts that they keep inviting Jesus to, but they keep doing it. So Jesus is at the house of one of the leading Pharisees, and they were watching him closely. They want to see what he does, because there in front of him was a man whose body was swollen with fluid, probably edema. In response, Jesus asked the law experts and the Pharisees, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they kept silent. He took the man, healed him, and sent him away. And to them he said, which of you whose son or ox falls into a well will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could find no answer to these things. So background, right? Sabbath is very important for Jewish people. They take it very seriously. And there was all kinds of additional rules about the Sabbath during this time, right? You can't heal on the Sabbath. That's considered work. You're not allowed to work on the Sabbath day. And Jesus gets very unpopular very quickly because he's always healing people, even on the Sabbath. And so he asked them the question, right? Like, if your kid fell into a well, would you be like, no, it's Saturday, so gotta wait till tomorrow? He's like, this person has been sick for how long? And I am here, and I can heal them right now, and you don't want me to? And I love how they don't answer him anything. Right? What are you going to say? They don't answer anything. They're kind of being shamed a little bit. And then Jesus looks around at this feast, and he sees what's going on, the social dynamics of this feast, and then he tells this parable. So he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they would choose the best places of honor, the best places for themselves. So this is the parable he tells. He says, when you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, don't sit in the place of honor, because a more distinguished person than you may have been invited by your host. The one who invited both of you may come and say to you, give your place to this man. And then in humiliation, you will proceed to take the lowest place. Now, this is, again, different culture from us, but it was very common in the first century when you had a feast to seat people according to their honor, right? Their social well-thoughtedness, okay? And the more honor you had, the higher place you got to have at the table. And everyone kind of would just group themselves by, they would look around the room and be like, oh, yeah, no, you have more honor than me, I have less honor than you, and they would seat themselves accordingly. Now, the closest thing we probably have to this is at, like, wedding ceremonies and wedding feasts, right? And can you imagine at a wedding today, in our day and age, can you imagine, you know how, like, normally you have the table in the front with the couple, the bride, and the groom, and the wedding party? This is, like, the places of honor. And can you imagine, like, Uncle Joe, like, comes up, is like, oh, I'm going to sit up there. What's going to happen when they play the music and the wedding party makes their way in? Uncle Joe, this is not your seat, right? You got to head up. That feeling, that sense is what Jesus is getting at. When you're invited to a feast, don't take the best place and assume you're the person with the most honor. Rather, go to the bottom place. And he goes on in the next verse. Can you skip to the next slide, Carrie? But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when the one who invited you comes, he will say to you, friend, move up higher. You will then be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Such a great story. And again, it's a parable. Parables are stories that kind of pack a punch and make a key point about this reality, this kingdom of God reality that Jesus was always teaching about and speaking about and preaching about. And so the point in this case is that when you exalt yourself, when you promote yourself, when you're trying to get more honor, you're likely to be humiliated and humbled. But actually, if you really want honor, the best thing you can do is to take the lowest place, to humble yourself. And then the person who invites you, which in this parable I think stands for God himself, right? The host, will say, friend, move up higher and honor you. And it's fascinating to me because Jesus actually assumes that all of us will want honor. And what was really tripping me up as I studied the scripture is that Jesus doesn't say, don't seek honor, that's bad. Did you notice that? He doesn't say that. He said, if you really want to be honored, do this. Take the lowest place. And then your host will ask you to move up higher. And in some ways, I think this is parallel to how Jesus talks about rewards. You guys know what I'm talking about? In several places in Scripture, Jesus says, hey, don't seek after earthly treasure. Seek after heavenly treasure, heavenly rewards. Is Jesus anti-rewards? No, he's not. He doesn't say, don't seek rewards, that's silly. He says, seek heavenly rewards, and this is how you do that. And it's almost like in this parable, he's saying, no, it's normal that you want to be honored. Honor is not bad, but this is how you seek honor from the Father, by putting yourself in the lowest place. So we're talking in staff meeting about a way to illustrate this, and I thought it would be good to show honor to one of our drummers. We have two great drummers on our worship team, and they both work really hard, but one of them is just like doing extra and working extra hard and participating, and I'm not talking about you, Dave. I'm talking about Mike. All right, just joking. That was all kind of a fake setup there, but thanks, Dave, for... Both of our, to be clear, both of our drummers deserve a lot of honor. You guys do. Both do a great job and are great people. Yes. All right. But if that happened for real, right? Can you imagine that? Right. And I'm talking about someone else. Ooh. Right. That's what Jesus is saying. That's when you self-promote and seek honor for yourself and assume that you are the one who should be honored. It's not the way in God's kingdom. The way to seek honor in God's kingdom is by putting others first and putting yourself last. And so, what's the application of this? Even though this is a parable about God's kingdom, and I think ultimately the honor we should seek from the Father, I think the application is to practice this in our everyday life. I was thinking about, I've over the years looked at different exercise programs, weightlifting programs, and things like that. And one of the ones that I was looking at and following their reading plan and stuff like that recently was talking about how before you start lifting heavier weights, most people should actually start lifting lighter weights and work on their form. Because if you lift too heavy too quickly, you start using bad form, and that's when you injure yourself. So drop the weight. Practice good form, because actually, we all know this, that practice makes... Perfect. Yeah. I heard both things. Permanent and perfect, right? I think practice makes permanent. So if you're always practicing lifting weights wrong, and then you lift heavier and heavier, you're going to injure yourself. But they say drop the weight and practice good form, because practice makes permanent. And I think there's a similar application here. Jesus is saying, have good form. Do the right thing. Become the kind of person who consistently says, you first. you first. I'll go last. And there's 100 different applications from you're at the store and you look at which line is shortest. Which one should you take? Or, you know, opening the door for someone else. You first. You first. I'll go last. And I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but I'm going to do it anyway. You don't have to raise your hand. But if you are the oldest kid in your family, the oldest child, or the only child, this seems to be just especially difficult and more challenging for you. I don't know what that is. Just life experience has taught me. Oldest children and only children tend to have a harder time with this. So if that's you, this may need to be something you need to especially work on, putting others first. Because the assumption can be like, yes, me first. That makes sense. I deserve that honor, that place of honor. And Jesus says, no, in my kingdom, put others first. That's how it works. And then things shift. So Jesus shifts focus now. Like in this parable, he's really talking about you and how you treat yourself. And then he immediately shifts focus to talk about you, but how you treat others and the honor you show them. So verse 12 said, Jesus also said to the one who had invited him to this banquet, this leading Pharisee who had invited him, he said, when you give a lunch or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or rich neighbors, because they might invite you back and you would be repaid. Now remember, don't think with our world and how it works. Try and think honor and shame. See what's going on in the first century is you would invite to your banquet the most honorable people in your community you could, because if honorable people came to your feast, that increases your honor. And then what happens? They invite you back and they get honor from that. Does that make sense? And Jesus is saying, don't put on banquets and feasts just to increase your own honor. People who are, your goal should not to be repaid in honor from the people you invite. On the contrary, when you host a banquet, invite those who are poor, maimed, lame, or blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. In the first century, if you invite these kinds of people to your feast or banquet, your honor's not going to be increasing from inviting these kind of people over. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So Jesus, I think, here is challenging us to extend hospitality and show love and care and concern for those who cannot repay us. Now, in his context, he was talking about people who cannot repay you with honor. Right. Honor those who cannot increase your own honor. Don't just always be like navigating the social world and trying to get the most honor you can. Serve those who don't benefit you by serving them. Serve those that other people tend to neglect. I want to point out some grammatical things. When it says, don't invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors, actually the grammatical sense of that is don't keep inviting them. So I don't think Jesus is saying don't ever invite your friends or neighbors over. But he's saying not only them, like you need to widen your circle and invite others to your feasts. But again, this is a parable. And the point is not simply about who you have over or who you don't. The point is who are the most neglected in your world. See, in the first century, these four people that Jesus named were not allowed to go to the temple and give sacrifices. They were excluded from that. And because of that, their honor is considered lower. So Jesus is saying, honor those, again, who cannot repay you with any honor. So the challenge is, who are the neglected in your world, and how could you lift them up? And then notice this last point that Jesus says, it's in verse 14. He says, if you do this, you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Jesus is talking about the same thing. If you want honor from the Father, here's how you navigate life. You lift up those whom the world tends to cast down and put down. Now, at this point, everyone in this banquet is feeling uncomfortable because this is what everyone does. They invite each other over, and they get honor from that, and then they get invited back, and they get honor from that, right? This is just what they did and how they worked. And Jesus has just said, you know, invite the outcast, the blind, and the crippled. Invite them to your next banquet. And everyone's kind of feeling very socially awkward, like, thanks, Jesus, I'm not going to do that. And so one of them tries to change the subject because Jesus has just said, you'll be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And so one of them is like, that's a good subject to talk about instead. Verse 15, it says, when one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is the one who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Yeah, let's talk about what you just mentioned, Jesus, the resurrection of the just, this kingdom of God. Blessed are all the people who are going to feast at that banquet. He's trying to change the subject. And Jesus doesn't let them. Then Jesus told them, a man was giving a large banquet and invited many. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who were invited, come, because everything is now ready. Now pause, some first century background. In the first century, you didn't have like, you would send two invitations. One was like a save the date, but without the specific date. Like this fall, I'm gonna host a big banquet. This fall. Because you didn't know what the weather was gonna be like. You didn't know when the harvest was gonna come in. So you say, this fall, I'm inviting you to my banquet. And people would respond, say, yes, I plan to come. Yeah, no, I'll be away on business, I can't. And then the second invitation was when everything really was ready. Like the animals had been cut up and were being cooked. The tables had been set, right? It was a lot of preparation. So when everything was ready, then you would send out messengers saying, now it's ready. So all these people have said yes to the first invitation. And then this master sends out a second invitation saying, now is the time. Come to my feast. Come to my banquet. But without exception, they all began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I bought a field. I must go out and see it. I ask you to excuse me. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. I ask you to excuse me. And another said, I just got married, and therefore I'm unable to come. What cracks me up is there's no explanation about why he's not able to come, but Jesus assumes we can figure that out. So the servant came back and reported these things to his master. Now, what's going on? Think shame and honor. What's going on with his master? He's invited all these people. He's being shamed and dishonored. And this would have been so surprising that every single person can't come. Like, that never happens. You know, you always have a few people who can't come. But, like, even on a snow day at church, you're all here. Imagine if just randomly out of the blue, none of you could. Everyone just happened to not be able to make it. And so this master is shamed by their reaction. He's dishonored by their excuses. So the servant came back and reported these things to his master. And then in anger, the master of the house told his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the city and bring in here the poor, maimed, lame, and blind. Same 4 people he mentioned earlier. Master, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, and there's still room. Again, if you're going to throw this big feast, this big banquet, you want it full of people, right? Again, this honor, this idea of honor. And then the master told the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and make them come in, compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, not one of those people who are invited will enjoy my banquet. So what's going on here? Jesus' point is this. When we elevate other priorities above God and his kingdom, we actually are dishonoring the Lord. And in his context, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, right? He's like, God invited you to his banquet, his feast. And you all, Israelites in the Old Testament, you said, yes, we want to be part of this thing. And then Now Jesus has come, God's representative. He's like, I am the king, I'm here. Accept my invitation. And what happens? Many of the religious leaders say, no. I don't want a part of that. You'll have to excuse me. And what you see happening in Jesus' ministry is that it's most often the outcasts of the society who are most quick to be like, yes, I want this. I want to be part of this. I want you, Jesus. And it's those who should have known better, who studied the scriptures the most, but the thing is, they had the most to lose by accepting this invitation, that tended to reject Jesus. And here's the tricky part, because the kingdom of God isn't church services or connection groups. It's not any one thing. The kingdom of God is so hard to define and try and point to, but it's basically God's alternate reality. And it's not theoretical, it's real. It's the place where Jesus is king, the domain, right? Kingdom is like a domain where someone rules. And the kingdom of God is what Jesus came to bring. Remember what he taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer? Bring your kingdom. Do your will here on earth as it is in heaven. And we believe that since Jesus came, that has been happening. That increasingly so, this world is becoming the place God wants it to be. And God's kingdom is anywhere and everywhere where people profess, Jesus, you are king, and I will do your will. So the tricky part is that that means so many different things for each of us as we say yes to being citizens in this kingdom. But Jesus' point is this. When the Holy Spirit makes it clear in your heart, like, go, do this, whatever that is, how do you tend to respond? Do you make excuses? We don't want to be people who make excuses. We want to be people who accept that invitation and come in to this amazing feast that our Master has prepared for us. So all of this, I hope you're beginning to see, is about honor and shame. These people are dishonoring the host of this huge banquet who's invited them all, prepared a feast, and then they reject it. And so Jesus says, all right, my banquet hall is going to be filled, but not with you. And it's not because the master is so mean, right? He hasn't excluded them. They have excluded themselves. They have rejected the invitation to come. Everyone is invited. You are invited. We're all invited. The question is, will we accept that invitation when we receive it? So the application is, be quick to make God's priorities your priority. We elevate other things above God and his kingdom. We dishonor the Lord. And this can be difficult for many of us just because how our culture thinks about religion in general. I know growing up, all of us kind of just absorb this idea that faith is like a hobby. It's like rock climbing or sailing, which are some of my hobbies. And how do you treat hobbies, right? You do them when you can, and if you can't, it's fine. Don't worry about it. If it fits into your schedule, great. If it doesn't, that's okay. And without meaning to, many of us treat God that way. Oh, it fit into my schedule. All right, I'll go to church or read my Bible or pray or make it to connection group. Oh, it didn't really fit my schedule. Don't worry. And I want you to know that God's kingdom is so much bigger than a hobby. It's about the whole world being renewed and restored the way God wants it to be. And it's about all the things that Jesus did and went through to make that possible. And it's about us choosing to follow him. And as we follow him, the Holy Spirit empowers us to continue his work in this world. It's about all those things and more. It's not just a hobby. It's supposed to be integral to your life, just like if you're married, your spouse is. Or if you have kids, like your kids are integral to your life, right? Your kids are not a hobby. Your spouse is not a hobby, right? Your kids and your spouse are hopefully the people that you do life together with. And that's what God wants for us, to do life together with us, to have a deep friendship with us that works its way out where we're doing everything together and we're listening to him and following him. So review. Three different kind of stories about some awkward conversations that Jesus has as these feasts with these Pharisees. And the first part was all about how you treat yourself. And Jesus says, the way to be honored by the Father is by choosing to go last, choosing to put others first, to honor them before you try to honor yourself. And so what are we going to do? We're going to practice good form, right? We're going to practice, make it a habit of putting others first in our day-to-day life. And secondly, Jesus says how you treat others is also a big deal. I want you to extend hospitality to lift up those people that the world tends to cast down. And so what are we going to do? We're going to keep our eyes open to the needs of others, and especially to those that the world tends to cast down and treat with less honor. And we're going to do what we can to lift them up. And then finally, Jesus says, I'm bringing my kingdom, and I'm inviting you to be a part of it. Will you accept that invitation? And so what are we going to do? We're going to be quick to make God's priorities our priorities. I was looking at Facebook, and I saw that this last week, apparently, the actor Jason Momoa was in Parker publicizing his new vodka. Okay, fun. To be clear, I did not go out to celebrate this, but I heard it was happening, and I was looking this up. I was like, oh, that's interesting. It's the guy who played Aquaman, if you ever saw that DC movie. So Jason Momoa apparently started his brand of vodka, and he was publicizing it. But what was fascinating to me is people's reaction. There's like, oh, Jason Momoa is coming. And I saw someone's post where they said, like, you know, like, waited in line for 5 hours to see Jason Momoa. And they even took a video, and it was like 2 seconds long, where he just walks by and pats them on the shoulder and then walks away. But they're so excited about this because they're such a big fan. And it is true. Like, we get this sense of when something really big is happening, right, you drop everything else and you do it. Like, that was this person's attitude about Jason Momoa. And my point is simply this. That should be our attitude about Jesus' invitation. That the God of the universe says, I'm throwing a party, and you're invited. It's called God's kingdom. And it's not going to arrive in full until I return, but it's here now in part, and I'm inviting you into it. Join me. And so the last thing we want to do is say, maybe. This is an amazing invitation. And so let's say yes when the Holy Spirit speaks. So I'm going to invite the worship team up. And as we sing this song, this is a time of response. And what we mean by that is it's a time set aside for you to respond to whatever God is speaking in your heart. And so there might be something you want to confess, you want to admit to God in this time. Maybe one of these applications you realize, you know what? I've been making Christianity into a hobby, and I realize now it's not. But what I want to encourage you to do is to just be open and honest with God in this time. This is set aside for that. And if there's something in particular or special you'd like prayer for, we do have a prayer team in that back corner right there. We'd love to have a chance to pray for you. Or if something that happened today brought up questions and concerns and you didn't understand something, I'd love to talk with you more. After the service, I'll be out in that foyer area. And then finally, I see a few new faces. I'd also love a chance to get to meet you if you're new and give you a little a welcome gift and make sure you get your questions answered about our church and what it's like. But let's spend this time now in prayer and response to God. Jesus, I thank you that you invite us to your feast. Because when we each look at ourselves honestly, we know we're probably not bringing much honor to this party. That none of us is worthy of being invited, and yet you, out of love for us, extend that invitation to each of us. And so I pray we would say yes today, again, to that invitation. Maybe some of us, that we'd say yes perhaps for the first time, to that invitation, but that all of us would just see the amazing beauty that this invitation is and how huge it is, and that we would not put other things in front of that, but we'd say yes and be quick to respond to you when you speak to our hearts. Thank you for your amazing love for us and how you challenge us with the truth even when it's hard.